I'm just grateful to be a student of recovery today. I've been asked to read something, and I shall follow directions. It says, speak a statement. The NA member chosen to speak at meetings at a meeting needs to be someone who's working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there are not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time, our experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there's the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distance to support our new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It's not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope. Again, I'm an addict. My name is Tomas.
Hey, Tomas.
And like I always say, I'm just grateful to be a student of recovery. And I share that message because I guess, you know, it was in our readings from Just for the Day, man. And I guess that's what this whole process has been for me. It's been a learning experience. I just want to first thank the Chesapeake Potomac Region Narcotics Anonymous for inviting me here to share on this topic, spiritual, not religious. Often used to say I've come to a couple conventions and I seek out that topic, and I never seem to hear what I want to hear. So the day I had the opportunity to bring it myself, you know. And as it was mentioned, it's ironic because, like I say, I'm originally from Baltimore, and we say Baltimore, Maryland. And I've been staying up in West Virginia for the last few years, and they call that God's country. Yeah. If you ever get a chance, you would understand. for a little demarcation, I did drugs. And as I always say, if I had my preference, make them more, make them cheaper. You know, it's the more thing that I focus on, too, man. I still hear that one is too many and a thousand never enough, man. That's real important to me, man. You know, not just about the drugs. I always checking myself out, man. There you go. With that more, you check that more out, you know. You know, this topic, like I say, the last couple months when it was given to me, man, all kinds of stuff went through my head, man. Some of that old profound stuff, man. I'd be sitting in the bathroom and seeing God be saying, boy, say that. Say that to him, you know. But for such a topic as this, man, I need to bring something to y'all, something I learned in school, man, with this thing. I went to a pretty prestigious college in Baltimore City. It had law school students and business majors and computer technology students. And me was just a little poor human service major, you know. But you had core classes, and one of them was philosophy. Of course, you know, I excelled in that as an addict, you know. You know, the gift of the gab, yeah, especially with them lawyers, I tear them up, man. So I remember having one final exam, and the professor came in class, and he threw a chair up on the table. He said, convince me that this chair doesn't exist. I said, oh, my goodness, man. I saw the lawyers, boy, they went to writing, man. I guess they was going to quote what law cases and the business majors. They had these complex business formulas, math formulas. I'm sitting there, wow, what am I going to say? How can I? Then something says, the program, keep it simple. Yeah. So I wrote on the page two words, passed it in. And as I was leaving, the instructor said, class, by the way, told my Scott an A. Everybody looked at me. He finished that fast. Whew, whew. Went on down the student lounge and chilled out. And about 2 hours later, here they come rolling in. Man, we need to know, what did you put on that paper? I just said two words. What chair? Okay, that was a little too simple for some of you, a little late. But anyway, this is what I'm going to try to do with this topic today, keep it real simple, man, you know. And I always like to say, you know, to me, I might tick some people off here today, so you have my permission. If I say something you don't like, just leave, but please leave quietly. And they have this thing up in a couple guys up in Virginia area, at a meeting I go to. And since this is not going to be church today, and we can't use the amen, but if you hear something that's real profound, just like they say, shoo. Yeah. Join in. Shoo. Yeah. First, let's go to Webster and Oxford to see what they have to say. You know, right off the bat, I always say spirituality and religion. I usually say spirituality unites, religion divides. Anybody left yet? I usually say spirituality means peace, and religion means war. You know what the old saying around here? Religion is for those who are trying to get out of hell, and religion is for those who are trying to go to heaven. Yeah, that kind of stuff. that's right. Such an organized person. All of a sudden, I'm all organized when I get up here. Bear with me a second. It's somewhere here. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't meant to be. Is that how they say? Well, I guess I'm going to have to say it by ear then. Webster talks about religion being a set of principles dealing with a deity, a certain set of values, a certain set of ethics, and dealing with a philosophy of life. The spirituality part, I'm going to have to paraphrase this, is probably right where I'm at. It talks about not the intrinsic stuff, the material stuff, but mostly focusing on the intrinsic stuff, the stuff that's inside. You know, I guess it talks about the God inside of me. You know, it talks about a connectedness between each other, and as the world around us. It talks about having some ethics and some values. And how I'll treat each other. And the spirituality deals with having purpose, knowing why I'm here, knowing where I came from. And it talks about probably making this world a better place. You know, we talk about this being a spiritual program. Yeah, now I find it. You know, we talk about this being a spiritual program. It says, what is the NA program? And I always like to hear that when it's read. It says, anyone may join us. Regardless. And the first thing, it says age. You know, the ageism. Discriminate. You know, some old guys come up in here, man, a little lately, man, and they feel they get a little complex, man. You know, I'm old, man, like this. And you see a lot of that change now with it, on both ends, with the older people coming in, and then you got the younger people, man. And I remember the younger people, they caught double from some of the old timers, man, especially if they come in here talking about smoking pot or huffing. You was a huffer, you did what? Yeah, I sniffed glue. Yeah. But again, it says, anyone may join us, regardless of age. Then the next one, now of course y'all don't have anything. This ain't no big thing. It says race. Race. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that, do you? Yeah, we still got that little problem around here. I'm talking about this spiritual program. It says, anyone may join us regardless of race. I had to work on that pretty hard myself. The next one. But these feet, what do you say, a homosexual horse? Hey! Y'all get real serious up in here, huh? Yeah, we're going to talk about this stuff. Yes, indeed. It says, anyone may join us regardless of sexual identity. Anybody seen Brokeback Mountain? Yeah. Oh, I know you don't want to talk about it, right? You don't want to talk about it, right? That's right. I remember, man, I shared that after meeting about going to see the movie. Man, them brothers, boy, that. Yeah, that's right. Brokeback Mountain. I like that movie. It had a nice recovery message in it. You know, what I related to, he said when he came off that mountain, man, because it reminded me of them drugs. Come off that mountain, man, him and the guy, he said, I just don't know how to let you go. Yeah. Yeah. It says, anyone may join us regardless of creed. Creed. Creed means a set of beliefs. Suppose someone said you couldn't join because we only allow vegetarians in here. We don't allow anybody to eat meat. Stop looking at me, Herbert. I'm talking about real meat. Yeah. Then it says, anyone may join us regardless. It says, or lack of religion. Or religion. Let me say that again. Religion or lack of religion. This is very important, man. I'm talking about this spiritual program, not Cox Anonymous. Just to think, if it wasn't spiritual, how many of y'all be sitting out there today? Any woman join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. And I need to read this a little bit for you. So addiction closed our minds to anything new or different. We didn't need anyone or anything we thought. There was nothing of value to be found in anyone from a different neighborhood, a different racial ethnic background, or different social economic class. We may have thought that if it was different, it was bad. But guess what? In recovery, we can't afford such attitudes. We came to NA because our very best thinking had gotten us nowhere. We must open our minds to experience that works, no matter where it comes from, if we hope to grow in our recovery. always said that, man. If my house is on fire, I don't care who brings the water. It says, recovery often isn't easy. The strength we need to recover, we draw from our fellow NA members. Today, we are grateful for the diversity of our group's membership, for in that diversity, we find our strength. Yeah. A little bit about religion, though. You know, it's all kinds, man. It can be a little confusing, man. You got probably the biggest one, Christianity. Following that, you have Islam. After that, you have Hinduism. You even have Voodooism. Probably the oldest one. It's on the rise again. It's funny, between Christianity and Islam, they try to stamp that out, man. I usually say, man, if I could just take and be eclectic and take a little piece from this one and a little piece from that one and a little piece from that one, man. Because check this out. Hinduism, man, it has the concepts. They say, do not kill any living thing. Mm. Do not lie. Do not steal. Do not take any drug. It says any intoxicating drugs or drink. Yeah, I can deal with that. Yeah, I can deal with that. Religion. A few months ago, I was in a meeting, and a sister shared about one of the most devastating decisions she ever has to make in her life. She's only about 19, 20. She's going to have an abortion. Yeah. She got quiet, just like this when she shared that, man. She kicked that thing out, man. But nine cocks and arms, man, I could feel the spirit in that, man. I could feel her after that meeting, man. Four or five sisters grabbed her and hugged her, man, as she was weeping, man. Telling her it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right, man. It's going to be all right. Whew. Yeah, man. I remember that touched me, man. You know, because I have some views, you know. But I set my views aside, man. I respect her decision. That's because of this program, man. This program, Narcotics Anonymous, told me be open-minded. Which is another thing, man. When you go to this basic text, I meant to bring that up, too. When you look up spirituality in the basic text, you know what it does? Look in the back. I'll tell you what it does. It says C. S-E-E. C. C, acceptance, faith, giving, hope. How? Humility, love, service, surrender, and tolerance. Spiritual principles, man. Spirituality. The other thing, too, man, you know how that 11th step talks about? It says it's a spiritual, not a religious program. Then it says, some of us came into the program broken and hung around for a while only to find God or salvation in one kind of religious cult or another. It's easy to float back out the door on a cloud of religious zeal. And forget that we are addicts with an incurable disease. Yeah. It's very important for me to remember, man, why I keep coming back, man. I suffer with a disease that said it, man. It's incurable. I need to be able to come in here and get that identification. And it told me the identification I can't do without and cannot find nowhere else. Just to think, man, if I went into some places and say, man, I'm an addict and I feel like using. Security! Yeah. My time's running a little short. I guess this is when you're having fun, time really flies. But, what I wanted to share, I wish, it's pretty filled in here, but I was kind of resentful. Give me one of them old good, juicy topics about relationships, where they be standing all around the room and stuff, man. You know, some of that old stuff, man, like you say, staying in a relationship, long after the expiration date. Yeah, 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 yeah. You know, and I'm just going to share this story. I know this couple had been together for 55 years. Boy, that's a long time. 80 years old, man. 55 years. And she got caught shoplifting, man, for stealing a can of peaches. And the judge said, how many peaches was in the can? She said, 6. He said, well, I'm going to give you 6 years. And her husband said, can I say something, Your Honor? He said, what it is? He said, she stole a can of peaches, too. A can of peas, too. I'm sorry. But anyway, if you're ever up in the... if you're ever up in the Charlestown, Ransom area of West Virginia, you can find me on a Thursday night around 7:30 at my home group call. It's a brand new day. Y'all stop on by now, you hear? May God keep you in the palm of his hand till we meet again.
Thank you, Tomas. And we have another speaker. I know this brother. I'll give you some best.
My name is Sylvester. I'm blessed with the gift of recovery. And I'm truly here by the grace of God and the blessing of this program. And I don't say that lightly. I say that with a lot of conviction. And he did a great job. Let's give him another hand. I was asked to read the speaker's statement. And it says the NA member chose to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not abundance of NA members with substantiated clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group experienced in Narcotic Anonymous may misunderstand the NA traditions and invite speakers from the outside. The NA Fellowship, there are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text for the insurance reminds us that the NA member from other areas are willing to drive long distance to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, to carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. It says, when speaking at the NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell exceedingly on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it is like to use. We came to Narcotic Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, our strength, and our hope of recovery. And you know, God got an amazing way of putting you in a position where you have to be willing to go where most folks don't want to go after being here for a little while. Because in doing that, as spiritual as we get, as we keep coming to the program and coming to meetings, my belief and my relationship is still out of reach. And what I mean by that is that, you know, and he looked up the, you know, he gave the definitions and all that. But I'm a book myself. And what I mean by that is that I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope. Because I believe that it says that, you know, if I don't learn how to tell my story, then I will have difficulties in living my story. And then there will be a lack of motivation for me to stay clean and stay connected to my story. Well, let me give you some evidence of what I just said. When I got introduced to the program in 86, and I was able to stay here for 8.5 years. And how I got introduced to the program was that I had already thought that I had got clean. Because I didn't first come here, I went to the church. Now, I want you to stay open now, because where I'm getting ready to go, I'm trying to show you that in order for God, see, everybody in here, God got a plan and a destiny for your life. That's why he say the war story is not important. What is important is the graveyard story. That's what's important. And if you anything like me, if you done come from the graveyard, I mean, you know, people, if you know anything about a graveyard, they bury dead people there. And what you need to understand was that I was living but didn't know that I was dead. And not only that, I was even in the church at the time. I hadn't even been exposed to the 12 steps. I haven't even been introduced to the meetings of Narcotic Anonymous. And so I was able to be absent for a little while, and I got involved, and my church had what they called a program, 12-step program. And by this time, can you imagine learning something intellectual, but don't have no personal experience to go with it? And what you don't understand is that you're being driven by your own imbalance of what you think you believe. Because whenever I got to force what I think I believe on somebody else, it means that I really don't believe it myself. So what I'm saying is that the topic that everybody know that we're sharing on is it's spiritual and not religious. And what you need to understand about that topic is that ain't nothing wrong with neither one. But first things first, right? Because it's hard to try to grasp what you believe when you gotta grasp it from the inside out. Right? So can I imagine trying to develop some religiosity intellectually but don't have a foundation spiritually? Because if I don't come out of the graveyard or revisit the graveyard, right? Then my story will be in vain. Then I will come to meetings and wonder why, periodically, I will keep relaxing and going back and licking up the vomit that I threw up. What makes an addict go back to the graveyard when you've been exposed to what freedom is all about? What make a person revisit the graveyard when you know that this is really what you want? That this is really what you've been looking for. And don't understand that the only way to understand the experience that you're about to encounter is that there has to be an introduction to you. And the introduction is that I got to go where my relationship with the love of God. See, a lot of times we get confused between the God of who can bring me things and not the God that can release me on the inside to have peace whether I got things or not. We're talking about being able to be spiritual, to be able to understand the religion. Because religion is based on unbelief. Right? And can you imagine thinking that you believe something, but having been exposed spiritually to what you believe? And then you become a legend in your own mind. And what the issues of the graveyard does is house your emotions. So it freezes my intent for me to want what God got for me, but I seem to can't do it because every time I leave out, I'm saying that I'm living one way, but the real me always show up when I'm by myself. Spiritual. Not religious. And so I came to the program and I went to meetings and I'm about 5 years clean before I even start going to meetings. And when I start showing up and I start sharing this profound message, right? And people were saying, "Who is that? Where he come from? I don't remember him." You know. And the person that invited me to come to the meetings, I'm saying, "Man, what they talking about? You ain't tell me about that part. What are you talking about? What they talking about?" Because when I came to meetings, I had a Bible in my hand. Right? Now watch where I'm going. The reason for the Bible was trying to fool you to make you think that I was somewhere that I had never been myself. Instead of me becoming a helper, I became a hurter. Because see, good intentions won't get this one. It takes honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to do what you really don't want to do. So, all I knew, I wouldn't tell nobody I didn't have experience, had a story, but didn't know that I didn't have one. I kept running. And God will always make a way of escape before you get wiped out. And he was sending people my way, saying, "Man, look, come here, let me talk to you. You can't come in and meet us doing that. You're breaking traditions. You know, you're starting stuff. You're starting a lot of confusion. You're starting this, you're starting that, you're starting this." So I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" So what they told me was, they said, "Look, get their literature." And infiltrate through their literature. Now, what you don't understand, that's even more dangerous. Because when I went in the literature, before God can use you to help anybody, he got to first show you you. And so, me going in the literature, and I ran across something in the literature that shook me, but couldn't tell it. Because I hadn't properly been exposed to truth. You know why? Because of something that's called codependency. My whole process at that time was trying to let people to make people accept me because I didn't know how to accept myself. And what I did was I went to any length to get the freedom, or think that I was getting freedom that y'all had. And you can always tell when you want something somebody else got, because number one, and then because see, when honesty is not present and you want honesty and you in the meeting and you hear somebody else share honesty and you thinking that you got this profound message, and then there's a little still voice that will creep in while you're sitting there and say, that's what you need. And then you avoid it. But as you continue to walk, that thing is still bothering you, still kind of like mess with you a little bit, you know, back and forth. And the worst thing that could ever happen to me was for me to get in the literature and have no understanding about what the literature was saying, because I really didn't have an encounter myself. What am I saying? I'm here this morning to share my experience stripping hope. I definitely qualify to stand here this morning, this evening, to give you, to share my experience stripping hope on this topic, because I've been there. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a lonely road when you trapped on the inside and you covering it up in the name of the Lord. There has to be an impartation of uncovering to discover why there's a need to recover. And I didn't understand that need until he chopped down the tree but left me at the stump. And what you see standing here this morning is the product of the stump. What you see this morning is a man that don't come to convert nobody. What you see this evening is a guy that just want to know today that I owe the fellowship. And the reason why I owe is because I took from it. And when I say that I took from it, what I mean is that I harmed and I hurt people in the name of God. Smooth talkers. Loose lips. Sink ships. And we come in the rooms, and the first thing that we do when we hear religion, the first thing that we do, we go straight to the church. But see, what we got to understand, it's happening right in our fellowship. When we criticize one another behind one another's back and ain't got the nerve to address the person that you're talking about. You know what you're operating in? You're operating in religion. Because you are not actually believing what the 11th step says, and then you're trying to act like that you're on the 12th step without doing a 4th step. Something wrong. Because you cannot transmit something that you haven't got.
takes the breaking down of being able to identify Sylvester. Why is it that you need to be accepted through people? What is it that you're looking for? What is it that you're looking for? What is the great need for you to travel and impress people to get a feeling on the inside that God has already placed on you? What is it that's keeping you from getting to Him? We need to look at what's blocking you from Him. And what I found out was, I was mad. I was angry because you people had something that I wanted. And the only way that I could get it was that I had to ask how you got it. The longer you see, pain is the touching stone that unlocks the door to my freedom, that starts the process of my relationship with self, which makes me able to be able then to understand my process with God. Because now I don't have to meet your standards. Because now I understand that, Sylvester, it's all right for you now to walk and be who you are and let people see your flaws. And still be able to serve God. I ain't trying to be the fake and the phony. You can't hide behind words in this one. They said the mask must go. Working relationship. And if the truth be told, starting with me and my brother up here to all the way to the back of the door, there is something in all of us that's not pleasing with God, if the truth be told. Because I never want to get to the 12th step and then find out that I have become a powerless predecessor. Powerless predecessor. I'm boasting about how long I've been here because I'm prolonging the introduction of the relationship with God that needs to go to another level. Because the 12 steps said, let me read it. I don't want to make you think it's coming from me. 12 steps. First, the 11th step says this. The nature of our belief will determine the manner of our prayers and meditation. We need only to make sure that we have a system of belief that works for us. Now here's the kicker. Results in recovery. Now, if I'm basing my results on things, then it don't. Now I'm getting ready to mess it. Now I'm getting ready to go somewhere. Now you need to hold on for this. Now don't get mad. Now watch this. Now it don't take no relationship with God to get things. All I need to do is go to work, show up every day, save my money, and buy what I want. A relationship to keep them. Because emotionally, I've been unbalanced. And for years, I walked in emotionalism and stayed for true religious feelings. The only way to break that cycle. See, it places that we go to that we're beefing with. I'm beefing because when I get there, I'm trying to fit in and then find out that I don't meet the status. Why? Because I don't have no system. And I'm getting the results that I've always been getting, so now I'm mad at God that I never got introduced to because my graveyard experience hadn't become an awakening. My graveyard experience must become a spiritual awakening. Today, I try to maintain balance. I know how to love in spite of. The steps have taught me. And the step that taught me this was understanding what step three meant. Step three meant it didn't mean that you study intellectually and then go in meetings and quote what you read and then haven't gotten experience with it. And if the third step says we're now ready to go in full and then find out, why is it that you got an indifference with everything that don't suit you when it come your way? And the answer says that I don't have the ability to remain open. Why? Because the spiritual part of my disease is my self-centeredness. My inability to see it somebody else's way. But the bottom line of it is that God uses who he wants to. Because if he can use a jackass, then I know that he can use anybody. The question is, why is it that you ain't in position to receive? And it's because I constantly lean to my own understanding and not allowing the people that God has orchestrated to put in my life to be able to take me where I'm trying to go. Because when you think that you can do this by yourself, not only have you disconnected yourself from God, but you have reactivated the graveyard experience. So I thank God that the program says that the only thing that would defeat us is an indifference. Now, if you don't know what that means, an indifference means that there's something wrong with your process of thinking. And in the literature, it says either you change your whole way of thinking or you go back to active addiction, not drugs. So that means that I'll pick up in here first. And then a shot of dope or a hit of crack will look like a step up instead of a step down. So I need to understand today where I stand in the midst of my spirituality. Spirituality is felt to where I work spiritual principles in my everyday living. Religion is taught. So if I find myself trying to teach more than I'm trying to learn, then maybe you caught up. Yeah, maybe you caught up. Because every now and then, Sylvester, when God will sit you down and tell you some stuff about you? You think you like that? But you can't be effective until you first learn how infected you is with being high over yourself. Now, the worst thing that you can ever do, you think being high over drugs and alcohol is something. Just imagine when you high over you and don't know it. When you sick of you. When your information works for everybody else and you ain't getting no result from the same information that you put out. Yeah, you caught up. And everybody know it but you. Because I always say this, and I say this for myself, because I know what it's like, and I try not to do that. If I can't share, if I'm not going to allow nobody to put me under the gun and say, look, say on this, and I know, for example, that I ain't got no experience in it, I have learned today how to say no. Ain't no use of me coming up here trying to impress you intellectually. Because then when I leave, I got an answer to the one that I say that I got a relationship with. And then what you going to do when he set you up and then tell all the people that you really didn't know what you were talking about? Now what you going to do? Because he got a way of putting you back on track. Religion, spiritual, not religious. Everything is based on how much love I can distribute and don't look for nothing else in return. Religion kills when it can't have its way. Religion get arrogant when don't nobody sway over on the side that you want because you think you're saying something profound. And then when somebody come to you and tell you they side, then you want to assassinate their character. No, you need help. You need to check the inventory list. Because I found out that I didn't get released spiritually to the God that I was trying to serve in the church until I first went inside. And he really didn't effectively begin to release me from me to him until I had a fatal attraction with him inside. Because at this time, I have really humbled myself to ask him to remove the shortcut. My greatest religion is my arrogance and my self-centeredness and my inability to love you because you don't fit my status quo. When you think that you got it, you have just lost it. The worst addict is not a practicing addict. The worst addict is an addict with a whole lot of information, with no foundation, with no application. I can go right there in Webster's Dictionary, and my man, he talked about Webster's Dictionary, and I had to know what it was like to know today that I got to continue step 10. I got to continue to take personal inventory. And what that means now is that I have enough relationship with Sylvester through the help that God has sent in my life to know that when I've done something, I got enough in me. I won't even carry a message or come and try to share it and help somebody else if I ain't got my house in order. That means that if I wronged anybody, if I said anything to anybody that made anybody uncomfortable, then I apologize for that. Because see, I know what it's like to try to understand when you don't have an understanding. When you've just been leaning to your own understanding. based on intellect and theory and mimicking. Because the worst thing I can ever do is mimic what I heard somebody else say. Because I'm trying to adopt the graveyard experience that is attached to my pain that will release me spiritually to be able to help other people in compassion. We need to be more compassionate to each other. What am I saying? I'm closing with this. Three things I had to do. The first thing I had to do was I had to lower my expectation on self and raise the high expectation on God. That means I won't pick and choose who He sent to help me. What I'm doing now is I'm broadening my horizon by my thinking level. Because you can always measure where you are spiritually by how you respond to other people that get blessed. What is your attitude? Is you criticizing? Because see, what you don't know is that when you criticize somebody else and they got blessed, and instead of you celebrating them, even if you don't know, what you don't know is that you next in line.
Okay. Say so.
So when we criticize, what we do is hold ours back. Yeah. It ain't that God ain't trying to bless us. It's that the blessing that got tired of waiting on us. Because the attitude is not intact. Spiritual, not religious. I know what it's like to allow you to have your indifference. But at the end, I want to make sure that we still love each other. That's what I'm concerned about. Because my brother Eric told me, he said, we were talking about the topic. He said, one was inward and one was out. And I said that one was love and the other one was law. And if you get love, you won't break the law. So I thank God for the process. So the first thing I had to do, I had to lower my expectations on myself and put the high expectation on God. And then I had to stay connected to my graveyard experience. Because through the graveyard experiences gives me patience and tolerance to have with the next person that's still suffering, that makes me want to get out of place when I ain't got time for you. But then it brings my attitude back in line for me to understand, well, how long God been waiting on you? Matter of fact, if you take a check on you now, there's some stuff that He waiting on you to give up. Share that.
Let it go.
So I had to lower my expectations. Put the expectation on God. I had to stay connected to my graveyard experience. And then I had to be open for the level of exposure that would take me to the next level. Because no pain, no gain. I did not know how to handle being trapped in religion because I was trapped inside myself.
Yes. Mm.
It was only through an application that I understood that these principles would manifest if I allowed God to work through the people that he had already had handpicked for.
Yeah.
Don't eliminate your health.
Yes.
Because the life you save may be your own. The greatest gift you can ever have is when you have the gift to be able to love somebody else in spite of their circumstances, their condition, their personality. Whatever the circumstances may be, you can have a car, you can have a house, you can have all that stuff, but if you don't have love, you're working with an empty vessel. And I thank God. Let me say this and I'm gone. Step 12. Step 12 tells us, and it's right at the end. Right at the end of the reading, step 12. And I'm going to read this, I'm going to take my seat. And I hope that somebody in here heard the message and didn't pay attention to the messenger. Forget about how I probably sang. But look at the evidence. That is motivated for one heart reaching another. Most of my problems that I had when I was first here was that I was listening with the ear because my heart was clogged up. Now that I've been released from my heart, I'm able to allow my ears to hear the heartbeat of the graveyard experience and the hope that anybody seeking recovery need not to die. What is our message? Our message is hope. The promise is freedom. Because at the end, all we have to offer is the current message to the addict who still suffers. I'm going to leave you with this. Yes, we are a vision of hope. We are examples of a program working. The joy that we have in living clean is the attraction to the addict who still suffers. We do recover to live clean and happy lives. Welcome to the NA. The steps do not end here. The steps are a new beginning. May God bless you and keep you safe.
We have about 5 more minutes.